listening for the last few years or even decades, you know that one of my main topics of fascination is the disclosure movement, ETs, why we're here, where they come from. And that's why I'm really happy tonight to be interviewing Michael Elejan and his experiences in a good way, bringing in a whole new level of consciousness. So, Michael, thanks so much for being on the program tonight.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
I think your information, your contact experience is valuable for opening up people to a whole nother level of being, right? So Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, I hear
you. I said, what are the services? Okay, go ahead. I was trying to talk. Okay.
No, go ahead. I wasn't talking. I was just cutting out. What were you saying?
Oh, I sound like you were talking. I couldn't tell. I just said that one of the services that I provide because of my experiences and of these personal 90-minute transformational sessions, channel readings for fellow lightworkers, star people. In other words, star people, if you go to my website, michaelelejan.com, you'll see a list there that was actually complete. Called the NASA Star People Characteristic List. Now, I always invite people to see how many of those characteristics or traits that you happen to have. But most of the people I do sessions for happen to have at least several to a third of that list.
I see, I'm looking at the list now. And Is this a list you created?
No. Brad Steiger, who has been involved for researching for many years, in the 1970s, compiled that list with NASA engineers and scientists. You know, there are some who work outside the box, and these were kind of renegade in a way. You people, as your research are, and they've been doing this for 40 years, this particular work. So on board the ship and interacting with a being named Corton, who I remember hanging out with in the councils, because I didn't come into this life with all the veils over my mind. I had a lot of memory prior to coming in. So having contact with these beings verified all my memories, and they told me on board the ship that I was going to now begin to do the particular sessions that my mission was really prepared for. Now, I will say that I grew up in a very avant-garde, metaphysically aware family. My parents were very much into the Edgar Cayce readings and teachings, and my father, being a professional stage hypnotist, had researched the fact that Edgar Cayce, the famous hypnotist. And so after Ashtar and Archangel Michael and Saint Germain and various of the team up there, as I like to refer to them, who were more real than me, than most of the humans they saw around me, started coming around me again, etherically, and I could see them very easily. They because of the interacting with them, I started going into older states and talking in my sleep. And my father, having researched Edgar Cayce, thought, oh yeah, I can train my son in the same way. So by 15, I was doing these karmic kinds of sessions by word of mouth up and down California. And I did those for about 10 years until 1979. And at that point, the second contact I referred to, I was active. I'm sorry?
No, I just want to back up a little bit because before we get to the second contact, let's talk about your first contact and, how the whole thing began.
Okay. Well, the first physical contact happened around 6 years of age in the summer of 1959. I had an experience growing up in this little kind of a vista by a town called Oceanside, about 40 miles north of San Diego, of falling off the Oceanside Pier. And in the process of falling off the pier, the higher forces beamed me aboard the Merkaba lightship. And I suddenly found myself among these very beautiful human-appearing beings dressed in silver and blue metallic suits. And I talk about this in a book called Prepare for the Landings that I published a number of years ago, describing this experience. And to me, these beings, that were familiar. I remember saying goodbye to them before I came down here. And so for a period of time, because people ask me how long was they on the ship, and I really can't say because there is no time, linear time, in these higher dimensional realms. Now, I was physically on the ship. But the beings around me, as I said, were dressed silver blue metallic suits and very human appearing, very beautiful. I could feel the love and their connection. And as I said, I remember saying goodbye to these beings. And they were connected with a group called the Jerusalem Command that Dr. Hertek talks about in the Book of Knowledge, the Keys of Enoch. The Jerusalem Command works with the Ashtar Command very closely as far as having the authority to bring intervention, divine intervention, or in this right case coming up here very shortly will be first contact, where they will openly come down physically, and everybody is going to be aware of that. And we're gearing up for that point very soon.
We are. How soon is that? How soon is soon?
Well, that word soon has been bannered around a lot. It's been so many times used. Soon, shortly, because higher forces don't relate to linear time. And I have to say, I have trouble sometimes relating to linear time because I remember so clearly prior to coming in. And one of the things these beings did for me while I was physically on board the ship was they played back holographically. It was like the holotech on Star Trek on steroids, holographically all around me, all these holographic images verifying the memories that I had carried with me. Which is very important because to be able to share to people, that wasn't just my imagination. This was an actual experience being re-verified of all these memories. And one particular part of the Orion Council of Light, part of the Federation of Light, specifically told me that my personal experience I was having that day of them physically intervening and taking me aboard the ship was preparation, confirmation, and verification in the future when mass planetary divine intervention was indeed going to take place. Now, because we're in a new timeline now, and I'm going to explain that compared to the old timeline, in the old timeline, it was an emergency worldwide evacuation where they only took about a third of humanity. In this timeline we have moved into since 2012, it is estimated, not a rigid number, but approximately about 90 to 95% of humanity is going to make it through, and it's going to be an open, more open first contact scenario. And again, one of the services I provide are these transformational channel readings, because the higher light encodements that they download through me, because when I was taken aboard in 79 during the second experience, when I mentioned earlier about they altered my DNA RNA, I think I did, to protect me from actually psychotronic attack, it also created an interesting way through my DNA RNA to download these higher light encodements, which the conscious mind doesn't hear, but the subconscious does. So as a person plays back these 90-minute sessions, activates their DNA RNA and causes a major transformation in their consciousness and brings on many of their abilities. And I get feedback all the time about this. It's very exciting to watch people open up and start tuning in themselves to the same sources.
Well, great. So wait, going back to 6 years old, that was that shocking to have that experience to...
Well, initially, being taken suddenly as I'm falling off the pier, in the process of falling, expecting a moment later to hit the cold water of the ocean below me, one moment I'm falling, next moment all of a sudden I'm back on what I call back in my home environment. And I remember 6 years of Earth time being there before. Now, that was kind of a shock to shift suddenly like that from a third-dimensional level to a higher sixth-dimensional level. Even though on one hand it was wonderful because they were back with these wonderful beings. So it was kind of like, one hand it was shocking initially, and it was just wonderful to be with them because I remember again saying goodbye to them. And they were telepathically just talking to me, feeling all love around me, and it was just like flooding my essence and calming me down from the horrible fall off this pier. And
how long were you gone for?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
How long were you gone for when you fell off?
Well, that's an interesting point. I wanted to share this, that when I said it's hard to say how long I was on the ship in the sense of time because there is no time in the higher level. But, and I often tell people, well, it wasn't as long as I was hoping it was going to be in that sense. But when they brought me back the same moment on a physical third-dimensional level that they had beamed me up. Call it a time-space warp, no time pass down here, but on a higher level time pass. I just can't say how long. They brought me back to this kind of moment, and I'm falling. I hit the ocean, but they put me in this detached state, so it wasn't so traumatic as it would have normally been. Now, they didn't take all the trauma away because I had to take responsibility when I get myself in a dangerous position, fall off a pier. I have to be a little responsible for that situation, but they intervened to take away a lot of the excess trauma that would have been more debilitating and shut me down possibly because my mission was to be more open and public with everybody as I got older to share the information about this reality.
So that visitation totally shifted your reality, didn't it?
Well, not well in a way, but yeah, I came in, as I said, without the cosmic amnesia veil. So my physical encounter with them was just, to me, I took it kind of, it didn't really shock me that I was having contact with these beautiful beings. It was just a shock, as I said, from falling from on a third-dimensional level and suddenly being this more beautiful, higher level. It was quite a contrast in that sense. But other than that, it was a wonderful, and of course, I wanted to hang out there as long as possible. And it's interesting because years later, four different people told me the story. When I shared my story publicly, four different people connected with me and told me they were aware of me on the ship. And they were kids. These were all kids who have now grown up. And two of them were on the ship. looking. Now, I wasn't looking in the direction they were. They were behind me in the hallway, looking in on what I would call the medical section, or this beautiful, it was all white glowing chamber, and they saw me there in the ship among the beings. Also, a man who years later ran up to me during the, when I'm not talking off the computer, not my parents, but with somebody else, a man. And he just totally freaked out and said, oh my God, because he remembered jumping off the pier after me. And when I hit the ocean, now he didn't know I'd been taking another ship because it was a time-space war on another level. To him, everyone just thought I'd just continue falling into the ocean. And then there was a girl who was about 6 years of age, and her father was in military intelligence from Canada down near Camp Pendleton, which is a military base, and they decided to visit the pier. And she remembers at that summer walking on the pier and seeing this little kid falling off the pier, which is me, and then all this excitement and things going on because of that incident. So it's interesting how you get confirmations also years later, other things that have happened.
So then your second contact was where?
That was in Narragora, not too far from L.A., and that's when the cabal decided to target me with the psychotronic beam, rip the life force out of my body. They thought they'd killed me. Well, one of my missions was to be a thorn in the butt of the cabal, basically.
Wait, Michael, one second. Can you just explain the cabal? That might be a term people might not be familiar with.
In the conspiracy world, the word cabal is also the word for the Illuminati, the power elite, the industrial military complex, all of the power elite forces that have controlled this planet up to now. Now there's a shift going on where the White Hats, the White Knights, the Earth Defense Forces, working with the higher off world galactic federation forces alike, are now in the process of rounding up the cabal and getting rid of them, either giving them a chance to come around for the light as an opportunity to amend their ways, or they will literally be, they're being arrested and rounded up. And a lot of intel is going on in the alternative media. You can't find this stuff in the straight lamestream media, as I like to call it. But there's a lot of intel all over the internet about what I'm talking about. People can check it out. And there's sources like one person called He Who Knows, who is an intermediary between the white hats and those of us who are part of the transformation of the Earth. For me, being a channel and having contact, during the 80s and 90s, I probably interviewed 200 to 300 people in black op agencies who would show up at my events. This was long before some of the recent disclosure. Edward Snowden and some of these people would come to me, these agents who actually were higher beings in Earth embodiment, whose mission was to become a whistleblower eventually. So I met 200 to 300, I'm estimating, who were in these alphabet soup agencies, many who were in there or retired, but they would show up and they would share this information with me, doing disclosure back at that time. I would share this through my workshops.
So they tried to kill you, the cabal.
Well, they had tried, and they succeeded briefly March 25th of 79, but I bounced back because my mission wasn't over, and as I say, went after the Elohim, who brought me back to life on the ship, altered my DNA RNA as a protection against that. That also created a way that allowed for me to do these 90-minute transformational channel readings to download these higher-laden codements to activate other people's awareness. But because of that experience, and I didn't have any fear, really. See, I never lived my life out of fear, because I knew if anything happened to me, I knew where I was going to go back to these higher, beautiful worlds where I like to talk about the light clubs, these beautiful parties we have going on up there. Makes all the parties down here look pretty boring and dull, but these beautiful human-appearing beings and other species hang out together in the councils. And I remember being in the councils and hanging out with Ashtar and all these different beings that, to me now, as I said, when I was young, they seem more real to me than the average human. Because I remember hanging out with them. I came in without the veil. So the physical experiences just verified what I already remembered.
What was the situation where they tried to kill you? You said they actually did kill you and you brought...
Yeah, I was in Agora. I was staying at this friend's place and they hit me with this beam. It came right through the house and hit me and ripped the life force out of my body. Next thing I remember, I knew I was dying. I remember waking up on the ship because they had brought me back to life, and I saw them standing around me, putting the life force back in my body, realigning my chakras, and I felt like at a certain point, I felt like I had jumped over a building and taken on the entire Illuminati single-handed, because I was so in charge, so filled with life force. And then I thought, no, I'm not going to hate these little goons that sit around their posts, but I'm going to have fun with their brain when I come back. being a thorn in their butt, they couldn't get rid of me after that. So even though they would screw with my emails and phone calls, which kind of irritated me, and then I realized, wait a minute, if I'm that much of a threat, I must be doing something right. So I'd say, hey, I appreciate your tender loving care that you target me and confirm the importance of my mission. They didn't understand humor. I was being very humorous. I called myself a conspiracy optimist because even though this stuff was going on, I knew that our friends off the planet would be intervening more and more as people woke up. Because what we do on this level gives them mandated authority to step in based on our intent, based on our actions and activity as the ground crew, they like to call us. So I do readings for other ground crew members who feel that for some reason, my purpose in life, and I usually connect with people about the time they're going to go through a major shift. And so these sessions I do are one of the ways to awaken other ground crew members, other volunteer star people. Again, go to my website, michaelillusion.com. Take a look at that list of NASA star people list and see if you can, I'm sure you'll relate, many of your listeners and audience to relate some of those characteristics. And so it's really awesome to be able to help other people understand their mission.
Well, I relate to most of them, but so what is the mission here? What's happening? What's going to go on? What do you see the future as?
Well, that's a very exciting thing about the future. I mean, I try to be as much in the now as possible, but it's important to be in the now, but there are wonderful things to look forward to. And because, as I said, the White Hats are the Earth Defense Forces, which are clearing up the riffraff. And there are many, you know, there's been a secret space program going on for quite a few years. People like, a number of people have come out. In fact, David Wilcock, who's really the incarnation of Raider Casey, he has interviewed Gory Good, E.T., a number of different people.
Well, what do you think of Corey Good? Does that sound...
Yeah, Corey Good. Corey Good, right. And Randy Kramer, who I met about 2 years ago up at the James Gillian's Ranch in South Washington.
Do you buy the Corey Good story? Is that for real?
I believe it is. Now, there may be a few little things, you know, amongst the information of his interpretation, maybe, but I feel he's very sincere. I feel like he's tried to share the story, the narrative, as best as he can from an Earth perspective and being in the Black Op agencies. And I met Randy Kramer, who was also part of that same group, as I said, in James Gillian's Ranch in Southern Oregon, Trout Farm, where the ships come down all the time. And he was very lucid and right on, and had a chance to interact with him and tune to his energy. And he was very open. He was coming out for the first time to share stuff, and he's been wanting to meet Gary Goody. I think they did. I'm not sure, but may have connected. But they're from the same. I'm trying to remember a particular group that of the secret space program, the Earth Defense. I'm trying to remember what he called it, but it was a term that Eisenhower actually started. That whole thing. I bring that up because in the future, this group, which is helping to bring disclosure, like there's stuff going up in Antarctica right now, major stuff happening in Antarctica, where stuff has been covered up, and they're about to, the White Hats want to do full disclosure right away, but there's different secret space program groups out there that are connected. Even the Nazis had a fleet of ships. And the beings from Agartha inside the inner Earth, they had there's lots of different groups around the Earth, but the groups I'm most connected with is the Astro Command, the Intergalactic Federation of Light, who are the guardians who are kind of in charge of or overseeing what's happening around this cosmic neck of the woods. And we also have a new economic system. We're about to have a global currency reset that's about to happen, where our currency is changing. The Federal Reserve System is going away, and a new system. 109 sovereign countries are getting rid of the old, corrupt, power elite cabal system of economic slavery. You're bringing our countries actually going from corporation to constitutional republic right now. As I'm speaking, the military is working for the humanity now in such a way, despite there's the last few skirmishes going on right now, but the military is getting really tired of being used by the international elite to enforce certain economic policies on humanity. So there's the majority of humanity have made it clear that they are not going to go along anymore with the agenda of being a part of a cash cow war machine. There's a lot of changes. The lamestream media doesn't tell you about. They like to put a spin on everything or leave a lot of information out or manipulate it and make up stuff. And yet they have the nerve to call alternative media the fake media. Now, the mainstream media is the fake media. And it's not that there isn't fake media makes up an alternative. They just tend to be much more coming from much more truth and a desire to get the truth out there than the lamestream media has up to now.
Right, but didn't people like Corey Good work for the cabal? Wasn't the secret space program a cabal thing?
Well, yeah, but so were the 200 to 300 guys that I've met, a few women even, who would show up at my events that were part of the cabal. But a few of those guys looked me right in the face and said that they woke up one day after they broke through their MK Ultra mind control programming, and they remember being on the Merkaba light ships, coming on a mission to infiltrate the dark side and eventually become a whistleblower. So people like Goody and others are fulfilling their mission to expose what the very thing they were involved in.
Right, right, right. So it's all coming down now. So you think there's two factions within the cabal, one that's breaking away, trying to do the right thing, opening this up. But what are your star people saying about this? What's going
on? Well, as I said, because a lot of these whistleblowers are volunteers in Earth embodiment who infiltrated the dark side, kind of like light sleeper agents or deep undercover operatives of the light, who programmed aboard the light ships to deprogram themselves at a certain point, the higher forces watch over them to allow them, protect them, and to fulfill their mission. Of course, understand that when they go into these situations, they take on the karma of a lot of the others that would have been in their position, stuff they're ordered to do that they really don't want to do, and there is some karma they have to balance out. You know, there's a lot, you know, and I often tell people this, who is basically good but kind of messed up in their beliefs and their attitudes and lifestyle versus somebody who's innately evil. That is to discern the difference between, some people try to sit on the fence a little bit, but more and more it's becoming very clear that there's two types of people. Most people on Earth, most people really do want to do the right thing and be ethical and moral. And I'm not talking about religion necessarily, I'm talking about spirituality. Then there are beings who get off on creating pain and suffering to others, and there's a karmic price to be paid. But there's also a thing called the cosmic law of grace, where higher energies, higher forces, the God force, source, divine creation, the great I am that I am, Father, Mother, God, energy, gives us everybody a chance, ultimately in the final analysis, to come around to the light or be recycled to the Godhead. And this is what's happening. There's a cleansing of the heavens going on around Earth to get rid of all the riffraff who kept us in economic servitude. And so it's just very exciting what I see coming up here in the next few years as a massive change, disclosure most likely occurring. And there's kind of a difference between whether it's going to be soft disclosure, which is already really going on with all the something alternative, to more hard disclosure where everything is revealed once and for all. And many higher forces want that, and the people of Earth are kind of making a decision right now based on what people are open to, how that's going to proceed. See, as we're in a new timeline, it's not all set in concrete. There's a lot of free will deciding how it's exactly going to carry on. But my perception is that there is a kind of what I call a cosmic and done deal sacred promise about some things that are destined to occur. But between point A and point B, we still have a certain sense of free will of choosing exactly how long, drawn out this is going to be, and on some of the more details, exactly, because then everything is preset. If everything was preset, there would be no challenge, it wouldn't be interesting. There has to be some challenge and some surprises in it, too. I like good surprises, that knowing that the light's going to gain the upper hand, it already has. It's just that we have to do each of our parts. And that's, again, where my 90-minute transformational channel readings help people clarify in their life what their priorities and perceptions are about they can choose that would make things a lot easier, better for them, be more empowered. I like to see people get empowered, not to become codependent on anybody, but to help others help themselves achieve a higher quality and learn the techniques and tools that can help fulfill themselves and help everyone else in the process.
Right, but you say you're a channel for the higher powers. So what kind of messages, what are they trying to tell us now? What are some of their really evolutionary messages that they want us to know?
Through a lot of my sessions, and this is a major collective thing in different unique ways, is the fact that a lot of us are playing what I call a surrogate role. Surrogacy is where we take on certain things, kind of like a psychological role-playing. And there's a being I channel a lot called Voltra, who is a cosmic psychotherapist, worked out of a ship called the Jupiter One. And I've interacted with him a lot. And he comes through and overshadows the channelings. And even though Ashtar is the main being who comes through me a lot of times because he's in charge of Earth missions for the volunteers, Voltra gives a lot of insights psychologically, physiologically, about the fact that one could go to lots and lots of Earth psychotherapists, but still have a lot of problems. Because Earth psychotherapists are on a very mundane Earth level and aren't really aware of other energetic knowledge and technology. But there are things the higher forces can do to overshadow that process and enhance the experience that people are going through.
Give me an example of that so I understand what you're talking about.
Well, there's an example. There is a thing called the accelerator chair on the Jupiter 1, which in years past, when this was brought up in the channelings, and it wouldn't even describe what it looked like. It's interesting how many people would get back to me, and when they'd ask for some kind of confirmation, they often got a little flash of seeing themselves sitting in this beautiful crystalline looking, comfortable looking chair with all these beautiful color lights shooting back and forth. All of them described exactly the same thing and had no conscious knowledge. And also the fact many of these people had gone to very traditional psychotherapists and psychiatrists, psychologists, didn't very much with their particular problem, but when they would come to get a session for me, and after the experience was over, they often got back with me and told me that all of a sudden when they would play back the session, because the encodements at that point start to activate, they said to me, wow, all my these psychological problems would go away, whatever particular thing you're facing, and they felt more balanced, they felt more empowered, and that was really wonderful to hear these stories of people experiencing transformational change because of accessing and asking higher forces, because they can't force help down our throats, but they really enjoy helping us.
Right, so each session, but there must be a big message they want to deliver, like right now in this forum, that maybe you could channel right now and download.
Well, I my channeling is a little more of a personal, private thing, but I do get telepathically stuff. But I know you're talking about the collective message as far as what our Earth is going through right now, and that's what I was kind of relaying, is that the message for the future is that despite all the things that people see around you, where some people think, oh, my God, we're going to have an economic disaster and breakdown of martial law and all these things, or you're going to go through very, very destructive Earth changes, I'm going to say to everybody that the Earth is going to go through a lot of changes, but the higher forces are buffering, transmitting a lot of the side effects. So it's not going to be as extreme as the old timeline where only a third of humanity survived. And what they really want humanity to realize is that they are really overshadowing, protecting and guiding humanity, and helping everyone whose hearts are pure. That is, the people who really want to make a difference, who have, you know, positive solutions, even if they don't know how to connect to get those solutions out. Higher forces are wanting to help people, both individually and collectively, to guide everybody to make the connections they need to make and help us go through this transition from an old karmic training school kind of experience into the golden age, into a higher dimensional existence. And that there's new technology that's going to become available. All the stuff that they've been repressing, like the 6,000 inventions from the works of Tesla, Nikola Tesla, all these people, it's all going to become available in the next few years, most likely, if everything seems, the way things are going, according to what I can tune into, there is definitely a plan. And it's only the question of not if, but when exactly, based upon certain conditions, will these things more dramatically play out. There's event steps that have to lead up to a more dramatic outward manifestation. But the message is that everything is being guided as best they can while still allowing us the free will to make a decision. They're trying to overshadow everybody to help influence us to do good things as versus doing bad things and experiencing karmic consequence because of that. I would put that into the nutshell, basically, to describe what their message is.
But you're making it sound like there's only one race. There are so many different races. I mean, there are some races of aliens that are not so nice and not looking out for it.
Well, absolutely. There's been the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's just that we thank God that the majority of the beings coming here have been benevolent. Now, of course, if you go to many of the UFO conferences out there, as I've done through the years, most of the stuff they talk about at the conferences, they always focus on the negative, the small negative group of beings and all the damage that they've been doing from abductions and genetic manipulation, which has been what the cabal and the black ops for many years were involved in, the MyLab programs. But because many of the higher beings who took Earth embodiment began to sabotage the dark programs and started asking the higher forces to step in, that thing shifted. Now, there has been massive, many, many beautiful physical contacts back in the 1950s and 60s, George Adamski and too many experienced people, but most of the UFO community has actually been infiltrated to a point they don't want to talk about the benevolent and uplifting. A good example was the Billy Myers contact that happened in the 1970s. And I knew Colonel Wendell Stevens before he passed on. He was a friend of mine, and he used to actually bring me people who had experiences for me to do channeling for, and information would come through in the channeling, verifying what he had gotten his research and his investigation. So he knew I was tuning into real things. Well, the thing is that he was one of the chief investigators that verified and documented the Billy Myers contact case. I knew Jim Del Toso, who developed all these computer analysis techniques that even, you know, that had never existed, even though he's working with NASA engineers and using NASA equipment and computers. Therefore, verified the Billy Myers photographs in 8mm film, and they even got these crystal metal samples that Marcel Vogel at IBM Research Laboratories on, it was on a film called Contact in the Pleiades, verified that it could not be produced on Earth level of technology. Despite that, groups like MUFON and all these groups that come off like professional UFO investigators, there's nothing professional about most of them. I'm not saying that some of them are sincere, but there's a vast majority of them have an agenda to put down and debunk benevolent contact while stuffing the graves on our throats. It's kind of their actions. And the Billy Myers contact was the most documented case in UFO history, but they refused to acknowledge it until finally about 8, 9, or 10 years ago in Phoenix. I was there when the local MUFON chapter had to begrudgingly acknowledge the Billy Myers contact case, even though they tried to debunk it earlier, because they wanted the computer techniques that Jim Del Toso had created and developed that they didn't have. So in order to get that technology, they had to finally acknowledge begrudgingly the authenticity of a major contact with human-appearing beings. They always like to debunk the contacts that are benevolent and human-appearing. Well, again, talking about only about the negative stuff, and they blow those up out of proportion. So it's been very obvious the agenda of so-called professional people who aren't professional at all, but they like to debunk us contactees and channels because that doesn't support their agenda.
So how many different races have you met out there?
Well, prior to this life, I remember interacting with millions of different races. Now, in this life, during the two physical contacts I've had, they were basically, I said, one was the group called the Jerusalem Command, that were human-appearing, we could say Nordic too, and the other one was the Ashtar Command in 79, they were human-appearing, but in connecting with them, and I was tuning in telepathically, I could tune into the fact they were in contact with other groups that were not human-appearing, but were still benevolent, okay? So it's not how something appears that makes one positive or negative. It's their agenda. Most of the beings out there are benevolent in service to collective versus the service to self negative ones, because there's been a cleansing of the heavens and a new treaty was signed about 12 years ago. The Anunnaki that came to Earth originally that were negative about 12 years ago because of the energy cosmic frequency shifting universe chose to embrace the light. And they told their power elite, 13 Illuminati families on Earth, hey, we're not working for you anymore, we're working for the people of Earth, and you're on your own, so you better come to the light. Well, the Illuminati didn't want, the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, the Bushes, the Clintons, all these people, didn't want to acknowledge it. And of course, there's been all this negative stuff that's been exposed. Pizzagate has exposed a huge amount of child pedophiling and satanic stuff. That's all come out because those are planetary wounds that have to be revealed. In order to go into the golden age, we have to clean up the riffraff. We have to clean up the mess forces did.
Was Pizzagate for real, or I couldn't tell?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely was for real. Okay. I know for a fact because of, you know, in fact, even before it was turned that, even years before, I connected with agents who told me all about that stuff. And then the Pizzagate kind of brought it into more a specialized thing. And then there was the Vault 7 release about a month or two ago, thousands more documents verifying what's been going on behind the scenes, and very powerful people have been involved in all that stuff. And I was, many years ago, exposing that. I was talking about all the satanic stuff during, even though I was talking about positive things primarily, I felt it was need to get to help people understand we have to look at the good and the bad. We can't just ignore the bad, put our head in the sand. In order to bring in the golden age, we have to be functional. We can't ignore something. I've basically been a warrior battling those forces for eons. I haven't hated him. It was just that as a guardian, I had to stand firm and anchor the light on this planet.
So there are things
we have to do sometimes in order for the light to come in.
But what can we do now to uplift the consciousness of the planet, make everything good and right and proper?
Well, there are techniques I teach also, not only through the readings, but just, you know, telling people, you know, but as we work, for example, one of the techniques I do almost every day is you do this very powerful cosmic color meditation, about half hour where I visualize the colors related to the chakras. I do light degrees. I visualize the light coming on the planet. I anchor the light through me. I do this powerful ceremony where I visualize around the planet, which is also healing as well as empowering technique. And so the higher forces, I asked the higher forces to amplify that. So as the ground crew members, we give them authority to step in and amplify all the things that we're doing for the light. So our thoughts, our image, everything we do that's uplifting is being amplified right now, where the darkness is being transmuted and done away with. All good deeds are having greater effect now than ever before, because the new cosmic frequency coming on the planet that even the Elohim have said they've never experienced before is sweeping over the earth right now. And it's causing molecularly, our physical bodies, for example, are changing molecularly from carbon-based to crystalline silicate. And the beings like Zosser, who's a cosmic physician of light, who I communicate a lot with, he talks about how our earth bodies are changing, you know, from a three-dimensional human condition into a more, we're heading toward an Elohim future, where we will have all these powers and abilities that we had off planet. Okay, so there's a lot of things that we can do individually and yet join together. And there's a lot of meditations that have been going on that's been conducted.
How do we accelerate that transformation?
Well, part of what I described is being accelerated. It's kind of, to me, it's kind of second nature that part of what's kind of energetically part of the protocol or the dynamics that is taking place is this, you know, very process. It's being amplified. And through my personal transformational channel readings, that energy is also amplified for everybody through the encodements that they download. It helps each person to become more able to anchor the light. It is very empowering, helps you expand your consciousness. And because even though it's focused on that person, yet at the same time, people around them are impacted indirectly by the good energy that is being brought down.
Right. Can you give us something specific to do, being that you've been directed by the forces up high?
Well, I just mentioned one thing. I just mentioned one thing was the cosmic color meditation. And I teach this in my channeling classes also, where visualizing the color, like if you go first, I visualize the white light, which is, and this has been scientifically proven that there are frequencies, these energies vibrate at different frequencies. And first I visualize the white light, then I visualize the silver, because the silver ray, which is the ray of joy and celebration, and it's connected with all these new cosmic light frequencies coming on the planet. I then visualize the colors that's more, say, astral earth level. I bring those colors through the silver, and all of a sudden they take on a much brighter hue. It's like being combining silver paint with other color. So it makes them more iridescent, phosphorescent, metallic. And they're brighter, they're more powerful harmonically. And as you invoke these colors, do it every day. People do it, experience major changes in the way that they process things, of how positive they are. Their brain starts working more clearly. Color is a very healing technique, and you can use it in various, you can combine it in different ways. There's things like putting a crystal clear mirror around you that reflects things, or an ambitious crystal mirror where it amplifies and it transmutes all the stuff. About the transmuting flame of Saint Germain, for example, which I've used for years, it transmutes all of the negative, disharmonious energy, the effluvia, as we call it, and transmutes it into the light. It's a very powerful way of doing that. There's light decrees you can do. And there's all kinds, actually millions of techniques that are available on the internet and various different sources, New Age, you know, teachings that have been around for quite some time, but they're becoming more powerful. Anything that's really has been effective in the past is becoming automatically, through these new frequencies, automatically more powerful than they were before.
Are you working with a group of other people in conjunction with them?
Well, not on a conscious level. I mean, my particular work is these personal, as a cosmic telephone line, these personal 90-minute transformational readings. That's my mission. And it still is kind of exposing things, but it's more focused on the missions, because the encodement process, the only thing they've told me, have been updated where they're more powerful now and helping people. So I'm not really working with any groups per se. I'm just doing my own thing. This is my mission. I network with others. I connect with people through the years. I've always connected with people who are involved in the work of bringing light on the planet. But there's a lot of different channels, a lot of different people doing different kinds of things, and different strokes are different folks.
Right. So, but you think the gray, the Zetas, are negative, but they're just after our information. And
well, people, you know, say, the gray actually information is getting kind of old. Back in the 80s and 90s, and even up until a few years ago, that was pretty, you know, because the grays were part of a group that was, you know, taking people, abducting them. The Galactic Federation stepped in and said, no, you're not going to do this anymore. It's a cosmic civil rights violation case. You're breaking certain protocols. We would never do that to force people against their will. So now the grays have started becoming fifth dimensional. They either become fifth dimensional or they're recycled to the Godhead. A lot of abductions were actually being done by the Black Op secret space program, one group where they had created many of the gray entities and they were cloning them themselves, because their actual plan in those earlier years, in the old timeline, they wanted to create an alien invasion. And in fact, if you listen to... Hello?
Oh, yeah, no. That's good.
Carol Rosen, who was the assistant to Wernher von Braun, said that the Power Leap's plan was to create all these dangerous threats. And the last threat, in order to create a one-world system, at least in the old timeline, invaded. Now, that was their plan back then, but we're in the new timeline. That's not going to be allowed anymore. In the graves of either, as I said, who were forced to quit abducting people, or they either became of the light. So that was a choice they had to make.
But some people say the grays are us in the future, that we're...
I've heard that theory, and it doesn't. I just don't feel that. I feel that was somewhat disinformation. Not that certain people didn't sincerely believe it because of how they were through mind control and things. I mean, you hang out in these UFO conferences enough in the past. There's this very nine mind control influence of influencing people to buy their agenda and their particular version. Versus us contactees and channels that were having an entirely different experience and understood. I turned a lot of abductees onto the fact that there were human-appearing beings, which their handlers, their so-called researchers like Bud Hopkins, who claimed he wanted to help the abductees. And yet, but he would never talk about the fact that under his hypnotic regressions that he was involved in, when he pretended only the gray information would come out, there were many experiences of human-appearing beings being brought out during those events, during those sessions that he never referred to at all. His whole purpose was to gain data. Huh?
No, how do you know that? I know Bud, and I think he was after...
Well, I know it because I did a reading for a professor from Houston University in 1986 who had been hypnotically regressed by Bud Hopkins, and during the session, Astor made some comment when he was doing the reading for the professor that some kind of the disinformation was being generated because of a session that he had gone through. After the reading was over, the professor said the only session he could think of was a hypnotic regression by Bud Hopkins. Well, as it came out... The professor said that Bud Hopkins was kind of hanging out with him because, you know, when you regress under hypnosis, stuff can sometimes surface later in the conscious mind. Well, I thought to myself, Bud claimed he wanted to help the abductees, but he never would ever talk about the fact there was another group of benevolent beings. Well, he doesn't take a rock scientist, no, duh, they could intervene to help. Gee. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, when I confronted Bud later about this, because I knew the guy, and at first, because he went on this local talk show in Omaha, Nebraska, that I happened to be there at the same time, asked him, and at first he was very open, and then I said, I talked about this hypnotic regression, and then his voice started changing, and I said, remember, because the guy told me that Bud said during that session, it was taped, he said, this doesn't sound like abduction, this sounds like reunion. The way he said it was like he had said it before and knew about this other group of beings. So when I asked Bud about it, he denied it on air.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think what Bud was after, this is just my opinion, was helping people work through the traumatic.
No, I have to disagree with you because according to information from a number of people who confronted Bud about how he didn't use, in fact, there was a prominent psychiatrist who for 30 years had a very bright career. He went to a MUFON meeting, met a woman who was there, who said she was from the CIA and Bud was working for them also. And Bud didn't use the techniques that he should have as follow-up so they didn't have to experience all the trauma. Well, after he confronted Bud, all of a sudden he starts getting all these harassing phone calls, and Bud got really angry because he was confronting him about, hey, you're not using certain protocol that you should be using if you're going to work with these people. Bud would use them and kind of drop them like a hot potato and not do follow-up work to help them, okay? And so when the psychiatrist came out and confronted him, his career almost went to hell, had to go to the psychiatric board. So I don't agree with you. I'm sorry. I have a different opinion from what I observed and what I saw and people I've talked to. Maybe he made you believe it, but I just don't believe that at all.
But I knew Bud. He seemed like a kind person. I think
he was a professional artist, and he got basically, what's the word I'm looking for? The CIA was looking for people on the civilian level.
But do you think he was working for the CIA?
Basically, I can't think of the word.
Do you think Bud was working?
What's that?
Do you think Bud was working for the CIA?
Yes, because this woman who connected with the psychiatrist who said she was working with the CIA and that Bud Hopkins was also working, just like Dr. J. Allen Hynek was actually working for the CIA as well.
I don't believe Bud was working for the CIA. This is my opinion.
Well, I can tell you that my sources say that he was. I don't care what you may have your opinion. I have to go by beings who saved my life and who have come through clear on many, many things.
Because I think he, I mean, my, contact with him is he was.
Well, if he wanted to help so much, why did he deny to me something that he should have been? Yeah, he should have. I mean, the fact that he knew about the guy and I knew about him, at first he was open, so I specifically referred to what he said during, and he denied that he ever said it.
Okay, I don't know about that specifically.
Well, I'm just telling you what happened. It did happen.
No, I'm just telling you my experience was he was really trying to understand trauma and understand what do the beings that you connected with say about Bud, though.
You cut out. I'm sorry, what?
No, I'm just wondering.
I didn't hear you cut out for about a second.
I'm just saying if you're channeling some high beings, they must realize that Bud was just trying to help other people, right?
One reason that Asher came through and said to the professor during the reading that some disinformation was being generated by a session he went through, even though they don't want to judge in a negative way, he was trying to expose something, how in the UFO community, there's an agenda to repress in all benevolent contexts while stuffing the negative beings down our throats. Under the disguise of being a professional UFO researcher, which to me doesn't mean anything, here was the Billy Myers case, the most documented case in history, but they didn't want to give any credence to it because their agenda was to make it appear that we're only being connected with negative forces,
right,
denying and ignoring all of the benevolent context.
Well, I know what you're saying, and I think people like John Mack realize there was a really positive intent, you know. There's the organization called Free Now, which is talking about the really positive experiences. People, you know about Free, F-R-E-E?
It's possible. I don't know. It's been so while since I've been,
they're talking about,
to a conference because I'm tired of all of the...
Right. Mm-hmm. I think Bud wasn't sure.
Well, if they really are helping, if they're really helping and they also acknowledge that there's benevolent ones coming too, great.
There are. They are really helping. John Mack acknowledged the benevolence of it. And Bud actually said there was a spiritual awakening that happened in many people because of their contact experience.
Well, the word spiritual has a lot of different significances, Earth level or galactic level.
Right. Well,
Walt Andrus worked in the NSA before he created MUFON.
Mm-hmm. No, I believe there's some infiltration by the CIA into UFO.
Oh, massive amount. Huge amount. Bill Cooper, who I very much respect, wrote a book called Behold the Pale Horse, and he exposed most, not all, but the majority of the UFO researchers were recruited right out of the, by the military, out of civilian and military backgrounds to present a particular view that would leave out a huge amount of other information.
I mean, I know J. Allen Hynek started there, but I think he changed. He switched sides.
Well, when he was interviewed by Omni Magazine in 1985, and he did say that there was all this other thing I'm talking about earlier, then he brain tumor right thereafter.
Really? Well,
coincidence?
I don't know, but
I knew certain people knew it.
Well, I think overall there's been a shift in the relationship to the ETs, and most people are welcoming ET contact.
Well, I agree, most people are, but I'm just talking about the UFO community, research community, quote unquote.
Right.
Those are the ones who had for so many decades an agenda to leave out, to debunk contact cases.
Right, that may or may not be true. I just...
Well, I experienced it. I've been there. I went to I met all these people. And they didn't want to give any credence. And the Billy Myers case was the most documented case. But they still didn't want to give any credence until they begrudgingly had to get the technology acknowledged something.
I think it was very real. The Billy Myers case was a legitimate case. There's many, many different races of beings coming.
Exactly. Here. I know that. You asked me, and I'm just sharing my history, my experience with so many people. I've been around, knew so many people in the 80s and 90s and met people, interact.
Right.
To talk to other people, thousands and thousands, and there was a consensus among us contactees and channels that they didn't want to give any of us any credence because it counteracted their hidden agenda to only emphasize one group of beings while ignoring the vast majority that were benevolent.
Right.
That's what I experienced and others did too.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't think Bud was part of that group.
We're going to have to agree to disagree. Okay.
I just think he may have had his own perspective that maybe didn't want to include because he did have some kind of, he was working with the Trump.
Okay, well, we're going to have to agree to disagree.
That's fine.
If you're going to talk about it more, I'm going to talk about my side of what I observed with him, of him not being open and forward with some information that there would be some reason to hide that if he was really wanting to help the contactees.
Right. I know
what you're saying.
I do know what you're saying. I don't think you have to be angry about it. We can disagree.
I'm not angry. I'm just a little forceful sometimes.
But I'm more interested in your experiences because we only know based on our experiences. So
right.
Your experience
mm-hmm.
has been more.
Well, that's what I wanted to focus on primarily during this thing was my experiences.
Yes. So your experience has been very positive and uplifting.
Very, very positive. Right.
And, mm-hmm. and they're here to lead the way. We want disclosure from these beings. We want contact. We want them to show up. What do we
need? Exactly. Well, that's the whole point. We want to have that happen. And I just feel the only reason I brought up about the UFO community was because they did a lot to hold back that whole real sense of exposure, bringing it all out in the open. This is the sore spot for so many of us, to seeing that what could have been done, they withheld and suppressed. So to me, the most important thing is that the fact that we have a vast majority of beings, like I like to call the cosmic family, our extended brothers and sisters, who in the 1950s were called the Space Brothers, was a term of respect, not some cult kind of thing, that there were beings coming for many ages that have been trying to help this planet. And so thank God that humanity is waking up in the new timeline now that gives us a chance to really get the information out there.
Right. So the new timeline, I'm not sure about that, but it makes sense. I think, do you think Trump is part of that new timeline?
Well, that's a very controversial sense because there are so many, bringing up his name, I have to say, I've never been involved very much in the political process. To me, it's always been Mickey Mouse, Donald, and Goofy would be better than most of the people who are involved, because they're nothing but figures. But I will say that there are a couple things, three things actually that he did while he's been in that, despite all the other negative things that people are really sore about him, was the fact that issues that I've been involved in are exposing is about the fact that, to me, vaccines are very destructive and toxic to our health, despite how they try to sell us on them. And I never had vaccines as a child, and I feel I'm really healthy. Well, he had the FBI go in and arrest most of the CDC officials because the CDC, which I call the Center for Disease Creation, has created all the very diseases that they claim, that just suddenly popped out of nowhere. And they have documentation. William Thompson was a whistleblower who documented how the CDC knew that the vaccines caused all kinds of diseases, and because the power elite had an agenda to make us as unhealthy as possible. So he went in there, exposed all this. And the other thing was, he has, because of things he has, they ordered a huge amount of people to be arrested that were child pedophile individuals. That in the last few months, there's been like 2,000 children who've been rescued from the child pedophile satanic sacrifice things. And so a lot's been going on that, again, the mainstream media is not talking about. And then the third thing was that among those of us who know that there's a reevaluation of currencies that the cabal was trying to block, because Obama actually, as much as Obama wanted to do the right thing, he was threatened by the power elite not to do anything, so he was basically compromised. But he signed some executive orders that blocked the reevaluation of currencies that are supposed to occur here in the U.S., and Trump reversed that so that thing can proceed for the new economic system that's coming along with the Constitutional Republic. Again, this is not talked about in the mainstream media, so that aspect, and it's also been, according to some sources, that he did meet with extraterrestrials a few weeks ago, after he got in.
Who, Obama? Trump met with
extraterrestrials? Trump met with ETs, right.
I'm not sure about that. But does
that's according to some sources, anyway.
Does the pedophile thing have to do with, taking energy from these young children? Is that why it's...
it's all a negative thing of using the fear and the trauma. They are power elite, many more reptilians, negative reptilians, and they, to keep their human form, David, he's exposed the reptilian agenda for many, many years out of Britain. I can't think of his name. But anyway, there's been this negative group. There's been benevolent reptilians, but there's negative reptilians. And there are negative reptilians. Most of the Illuminati families, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Bushes, the Clintons, all these, are reptilian, actually, in their genetic background.
So do you think in disclosure, whenever that will happen, hopefully soon, all these races will start to be known, or will we?
Yes. Yes, it's going to be, depending how complete, thorough it will be. Eventually it will be totally thorough, but hopefully, depending how soon, how long it will take, all of this will come out, all of the different races. I mean, I've been in communication with beings from many visitors, so many different systems that are part of the Galactic Federation of Light. They all work together. Sometimes when I tune into a ship going along, a UFO light ship, and somebody asks, well, where's that ship from? That's a little hard sometimes to say because they share their, a lot of different crews and commands, quote, of the Federation, are from all over the universe, share and come onto a one ship kind of as a, just a sharing experience, and they're from all over the universe. And there's big motherships out there that are 10,000 miles across, actually. And NASA has picked up, and there's numerous videos they've repressed of the large, gigantic motherships in front of the sun that are, like, huge, that block out large portions of the sun. And they've seen them going, and the sun opens up portals at times, and they videotape this, and ships are lining up on the rings of Saturn that are thousands of miles in length, just sitting right there.
Well, but where are those, what is the purpose of those big ships, and where are they from?
Well, they're from all over the universe. They're from major star systems that are part of the Service to Collective groups that are here to help the Earth. And they're monitoring, they're doing scientific and spiritual energy readings. And they're also helping us buffer the new cosmic light frequencies that are sweeping in the Earth right now that have never existed in the universe, and Earth definitely never experienced these energies before. And they're helping buffer it because if it wasn't for them doing this, it would be too much for us. It would literally, these energies could destroy us. I mean, something that's really beautiful, when it's too overwhelming, like you're not used to sunlight, you get out, it can be kind of traumatic. But if you're used to something, then you can go through it easily. So they've been buffering, meaning they've been making it easier for people on Earth to handle these new incoming frequencies and help us get used to it than if we didn't have that outside help. They've neutralized a huge amount of possible destructive events. Back about 40 years ago, at some day when I was a little, some bad mood and about what was going on. And Astor, who often comments to me about all kinds of things, he said to me, he goes, if truth be told, the Earth should be an 8 times worse mess than it is. And I looked at it, I said, I can't comprehend twice as bad. And he says, well, that's how much we've been intervening behind the scenes, or the Earth would have been destroyed many times over.
I heard that there are races, intelligent races, that are being wiped out across the galaxy, though. And we've been protected.
Well, the word intelligent has different meanings. Are the intelligent for the light? Are the so-called intelligent and intellectually for the dark side? See, it all hinges on what you're talking about.
Right. So we need to have this energetic adjustment before we can make real contact. Is that what you're saying? Because it'd be too much, the energy.
Well, I'm sorry. You're cutting out there. You're Skyping is cutting out.
I said it sounds like we need to have an energetic adjustment before real contact can be made.
We are having an energetic adjustment right now.
Okay. So, and this is a process? Are you getting channeling that this takes months or years for the adjustment to be established before full-on contact can be made?
Well, it's been going on for a long time, and now the adjustments are getting quicker and more intense in some ways. Through the encodements through my transformational channel readings, the encodements help people individually, because it's tailored to each person, help people adjust more on an individual basis. And as they adjust, they impact people around them. So it's kind of like dropping a pebble in the pool, the ripple effect goes out, and everybody starts being, kind of climatized, excuse me, so can handle the ongoing planetary ascension process.
So your readings, the purpose is to help modulate those energetic adjustments, right?
That's part of it. And then the other thing is to give each person greater insight into what is their individual mission and purpose for being an Earth embodiment as a star person, as a volunteer. That's why I recommend going and taking a look at the NASA Star People list at my website, michaelelysian.com, and see how many of those characteristics you happen to have. Now, I will say, it's interesting through the years back in the 80s when I used to carry around a poster board and hang it up, lean it up against the wall, hotel, wherever I was doing my event. And there was always people who would say to me, they couldn't really relate to, they only had a few of them. But I always knew that the only people allowed to show up at my events, because the higher forces had an energy field around it, were fellow volunteers. Even people who claimed they were just there because of curiosity, And I always tell people the difference between Uncle Bill went out and milked the cow, curiosity, and this kind of curiosity, as they claim it, is really based on their comprehension level. And comprehension is based on their true consciousness awareness level. Even if they didn't consciously realize what drew them there, it was the fact that, the star people list is kind of a physiological reference point that helps them to realize, hey, I maybe, because I have some of these characteristics, maybe that's significant in some way. And the transformational channel readings that I do help give them clarity about why those characteristics have significance. And that is part of their DNA RNA that's been activated and showing them as a sign that they're connected with this reality.
So comprehension level, I think that's a really good point. How do we up that? How do we expand that? Which is what my...
Well, anything you do that's life-enhancing to your physical body, your physical well-being, is being interphased. So a lot of things that in the past may not seem to have been as powerful are taking on new power now, the good. Those things that uplift, that enhance, that empower a person, that bring joy and beauty versus ugliness, things that bring beauty and empowerment are being enhanced by the higher forces. And as we invoke the light, as I said earlier, we ask them, the higher forces, to invoke it on our behalf, and it amplifies it even more. We can create these rainbow crystal bridges, so to speak, connecting us with everyone else around the planet and bridge the so-called gaps and divisions that have kept us apart. The Cabal always like to pit us against one another. Well, people are breaking through that and realizing we all, 90-95% of us minimum, have a desire to do things that are life-enhancing. I know a lot of times people think when they ask the question, oh, are people innately good or innately evil? I think most people I feel are innately good. People just take on bad habits and do bad things. But as the energy shifts, people start to come out of these bad behavior patterns. The higher energies are allowing that, and they start catching themselves, and they start doing more better things because it feels good to do good things. It doesn't feel good ethically and morally to do something that is bad or hurtful or harmful, and it's karma-producing too. It's kind of like galactic common sense. That's why service to collective operates great, but service to self doesn't really work very well and breaks down eventually.
But how come there's so many people in service to themselves? Why does that exist at all?
You say a lot of people, you know, because they may get more of the news, they stand out more. I feel as I tune to humanity that most of humanity, this isn't just a pipe dream kind of thing. I believe truly as I tune into most of people, I'm saying most, because there's a 90-95%, there's about 5 or 10% of humanity I would call immoral, unethical, and self-serving, but they seem to get all the coverage. They seem to stand out like a gigantic sore thumb. Well, the good news doesn't really sell very much as far as the media, the corporate media. They like to thrive on pain and suffering and funkiness and all that, but for good things, good people helping one another, those are the things that make us feel good. Those are the areas, and it's kind of like the old saying, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I take that to mean that the ones who abuse power, they're going to be forced out, and those that are good are going to be given opportunities to make a difference. I see it happening. We're just not hearing about it in the mainstream media because they sell news to generate and keep the negative stuff going. While good things are not just don't make very much profit, it seems, as far as the power leader concerned.
Right. No, I think you have a good point because they talk about the 1%. The 1% owns 99% of the wealth.
Yeah, most of the corporations, right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that is true. I think it's a very, very small percentage that is in service to self. Most people...
And there's a lot of, quote, and this sounds fictional, but it's based the fact that a lot of movies... I mean, movies are basically really bad or really good or kind of in between. But there's been a lot of whistleblower types that I've met through the years who told me all of the time travel movies, most of the theme, which has to do with coming back and changing our past, is based on the fact that this has, in fact, been going on. That there's ones in the future who have come back, either extraterrestrial groups or human levels, that have come back to change the past to something better. And that many of us were connected with those programs, actually. I'm aware of something like 20 million years in the future, a group of us decided to come back in time, 26 and a half million years, to hit the timeline, it's like an acupuncture point in the time-space meridian, and change things gradually, because it's a giant hologram anyway. And there's been these time wars going on, where the dark side keeps manipulating, the good side keeps gaining more control over that, and the divine creation is bringing things back into balance. So there's been a lot of learning from past, quote, past But in the timeline, there's this constant shifting. It's a giant hologram, and the good is winning out. Let's put it that way.
No, I totally agree with you here. We agree on this one, that things are changing now. So if you were to give just a reference for a possible time of awakening planetarily, would it be 10 years, 20 years?
Well, you know, I noticed you, and this is not a criticism, but you use a lot of phrases like you think it hasn't happened yet. It's going on right now, okay?
I agree with you, yes. I think
it really is going on. It's just the more, what you're referring to is a little more dramatic, up in our face, go out and thump it on the street kind of disclosure process. And that is upcoming. Wherever I will behold. Once our friends upstairs get the cosmic green light to come down, and once they decloak their ships, if you were to see all of the ships surrounding Earth, there are over a trillion plus light ships up there right now surrounding Earth in guardian action. If they were to decloak, the sky would be filled with them.
Wow, well, that's exciting. So, so your work really is to prepare people for this and to activate.
Yeah, I love my book. It's like the title of my book, Prepare for the Landing, Are You Ready? But my transformation, I'm trying to read. I want to share one little quick experience because it kind of, yeah, I said this earlier here before we started the interview about when I was interviewed by George Norrie in the Coast to Coast show back in 2011 on January 19th. And one of the callers, who was a truck driver out of Salt Lake City, Utah, had a year before in 2010, had started getting in contact telepathically with a group of light beings who would come down near his rig, his truck, and the ships were like 1,000 feet across. They were big. And he actually could see them waving at him through the windows. And he started asking when George Norrie, who I feel is a very dedicated degree, but he usually only has researchers on his show. Very rarely does he have contact with your channels. James Gillian and I were two of the rare exceptions because of my book. Vance Campbell, and asked the beings to verify some things to him, and the ships would go up and down for yes or side by side for no. They may need maneuvers to verify things, so he would often ask them about certain guests, because usually they're researchers. He said, should I listen to them? And they'd usually say no, because they're just researchers. They're coming from their intellect, or they have an agenda. But when I was on the show and he was driving his truck and he was very excited, the ship came right down over his truck and he asked him telepathically, am I for real? And the ship went up and down very vigorously. And I said to him, nothing like getting a cosmic kosher stamp of approval.
Right. No, it's very exciting times. I mean, I do also agree that it's happening. It is happening. Mm-hmm. And I am asking about the dramatic moments, but I think it's homeopathic. It's happening with each one of us individually.
Right.
This awakening. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate it.
And I will say, you know, I want to say one thing too about, you know, I mean, you and I have a different opinion, agree to disagree area. And that's not with any, you know, I'm not out of any anger. I'm a forceful kind of person. Some people think I get angry, but I'm just kind of forceful and passionate. Mm-hmm. And so I respect your opinion. I have my opinion. You know, the higher forces have these very passionate conversations, agree to disagree conversations. They just don't get their feathers ruffled.
Right. No,
on Earth sometimes.
I understand. I'm fine with agreeing to disagree. It's both based on our experience, but I think both of us are also wanting the greatest good for the world.
Right.
For the
world. I agree with that, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's many different approaches. I mean, most people have their own individual opinions, but I think collectively, all these different parts, because not everybody's the same, is creating a synergy of welcoming the higher minds, the greatest civilizations, and we need to retain our individuality. I think that's some of the fear, but it's very exciting because in that individuality is even expanding even more. As we move into, do you believe in ascension, the ascension wave?
Yes, I mentioned the planetary ascension already, yes.
And the individual ascension, the body turning?
Oh, yeah. Well, the ascension is both a physical experience and the greater cosmic ascension is when we're taken physically aboard the light ships in our physical earth body, and we come back after that experience where we have our powers and abilities, and we now have merged human with Elohim.
So who are the Elohim?
Well, the Elohim, Astra is an Elohim. There's different levels of Elohim, but Elohim are usually, in the biblical sense, referred to as creator gods and goddesses. They are higher beings under divine creation who have authority and responsibility as creator beings to overshadow, to guide, to manifest ongoing experience in the universe. Basically, they're guardians. They're, you know, they oversee and help and guide humanity as much as possible.
Well, how can people find you, and do you have any fine closing words?
Well, I want to say I enjoyed being here on your show, and I hope that what I've shared, it's very hard sometimes in a short show to share as much as I'd like, but I tried to be, you know, focus on some of the major points here. I just want to say I hope that all those out there are hearing this interview will take, you know, really tune in to realize, and if you want to get, you know, greater insight about your mission so that you can be of greater help to humanity, both individually and collectively, if you, you know, if you decide to get a 90-minute transformational channel reading, you know, kind of based on all the experiences I've had with people who've experienced those, I really enjoy empowering people, and I look forward to networking with everybody and connecting. You know, I had a chance because it also prepares collectively, and it adds to the collective momentum field of the planet and individual experiences we have. So the readings are both individual, but they add to the collective consciousness shift that the planet, Mother Earth, through the ascension process is indeed going on, and helps to prepare us for first contact and all of the wonderful changes that are coming up.
But how do we contact you? Give us your information.
Oh, well, there are two ways. You can go to my website, michaelellegion.com. That's M-I-C-H-A-E-L and E-L-L-E-G-I-N. And there's information there. You can also, if you want to call me, my cell number is 206-235-8402. That's 206-235-8402. I live right now in Roanoke, Virginia. That's actually a West Coast number, but that's my cell phone number, so people call me all the time on that number.
Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate you reaching out, and I appreciate, you may not think, but the work you're doing to prepare people's minds and hearts for this awakening. I really do appreciate that. And you're
Well, I appreciate your work you're doing, too, on, providing a service to present many different views and many different multidimensional ways of looking at something. And so we all have our opinions and focus, and I'm always willing to change my mind if somebody can. But I also have certain things that have, you know, to me, I'm passionate about getting the truth out. And that's kind of an issue with people when I feel like, you know, something is being withheld when it could be given and shared and empowered and healed the people. That's my issue about people.
And I don't know particularly if Bud just denied that part. I know he never acknowledged as a painter what his series called The Watchers were is all about. But it sounded like, ultimately, I think he was working to help people for the good. You know, he may have had his. I think, you know, if you're a UFO researcher, you're coming with your own agenda, which is limited to the personality. But on the higher levels, I think there's something else going on. You know, I think there's an upliftment that many people who are in service to others are trying.
Well, I believe everybody can. I believe if you are innately good, you can change. If somebody's been involved in something, I always say, hey, I'm hopefully they will do, you know, kind of make up for lost time. If there was whatever going on, this is a chance for them to make amends and to help humanity in a more direct and more expanded way. So I'm always open to hearing that, you know, other side.
Either way, I think we're in very, very exciting times. And if you're getting any more contacts, just contact me and we'll broadcast them, okay?
Well, very good. Well, hey, thank you for a chance to share. And I always tell people, keep your eyes on the skies.
Absolutely. Because they're coming. They're coming.
Yes.
They're coming around the mountain. Yes.
It's coming around the mountain.
Thanks, Michael. I'll
thank you, and God bless, and keep the light burning bright there.
Thanks so much for being a guest on New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. I'm talking to Michael Elijan. I would say a bridge to those higher dimensions. And you can find him on his website, michaelelijan.com. You can find me at newrealities.com. Also subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/newrealities. And thanks for listening to me.